You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
I'm going to listen to Mr. James Taylor, one of the best Christmas albums in the universe.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds watching over their flocks by night, out of the darkness shone a heavenly light. Feared and they trembled high above the earth, sang out an angel chorus telling of the Savior's birth. Go tell it on a mountain, over the hills.
Wow, I can't get enough of that, and I look forward to every December when I'm finally able to play that in context. What a show we have had so far, starting off with Valerie Bure, of course, former NHL All-Star and champion of CBC's Battle of the Blades 2010. It's great to catch up with Val. And Candace chirping in the background. I'm just glad she didn't take over the interview. She does that once in a while. And Graham Lotz was also a guest on our show just after that. Of course, daughter of Billy Graham and a ministry leader in her own right. I mean, she has just done fantastic things with her life and her passion and her ministry. Dr. Peter Rollins, philosopher, author, and drinker. Fellow Irishman, Belfast boy. Grew up in the shadows of Samson and Goliath, the two big cranes there. And now we're on to our next guest, Dr. Daniel Taylor, author of The Myth of Certainty. He's been on the show a couple times before. Probably one of the most underrated authors, in my estimation anyway. The Myth of Certainty, The Reflective Christian in the Risk of Commitment. This guy's got a lot to say, and I'm glad he's begun to write again. Dr. Daniel Taylor, what's going on, big guy?
I just walked in from a wedding.
How was that?
It was good. We married up a Ukrainian and an American, and we're hoping for the best.
Oh, that's funny. That's good. What do you think about this stuff that I'm in the middle of here? The crisis of faith, a couple of interesting interviews. By the way, did you get a chance to listen to the interview we did with Ray Comfort last week?
Well, I lasted as long as I could take it.
Come on, it wasn't that long.
Well, yeah, I heard maybe the first 10 minutes of it.
Okay, and what's your reaction to that interview that I had?
Well, to that specific approach, you know, I don't criticize anybody who's got an explanation for why they believe what they believe, and I would say that there are probably hundreds, maybe thousands of people who, you know, say this guy has really helped me. For me, it's where I was when I was about 18 years old. I'm not saying that he's naive or anything, but
right.
At that age, I was looking for guys like him because I thought, you know, they're
absolutes.
There's answers to every question, and
yeah.
I just memorize them. And if I would have taken copious notes from him, and I would have tried to memorize and say, yeah, when somebody says this, then I'll say that. Or I would have done it for myself. When my little inner atheist says this, then I'll answer him that. And, you know, so at one time, that he would have been very helpful to me. Now he seems to be missing the point, in my own life at least.
Okay, so When I was told that I wasn't a Christian because of the depths of my doubt, I think that was, I'm probably messing up I'm not quoting him correctly on that
right.
one, but that was pretty much the gist of
right.
of one of his comments. How should I have responded to that? Give me, you know, I don't want ammunition because I don't have the energy to go into these
sure.
kind of debates and
right.
things anymore.
There's the clever responses, and the kind of put down responses and stuff, but I mean, I think a meaningful response, not necessarily to say to him, is, well, that puts me in good company. Puts me in a lot of good company, you know, of people in Scripture, in fact.
Right.
And
what, like
so,
Judas?
Well, I don't know. I don't know Judas that well. But this idea that somehow doubt's incompatible with faith is, I think, just so clearly wrong. In fact, I guess I would argue that if you don't have doubt, you don't have faith. because if you have certainty, you don't need faith. You know, I don't need faith that 2 + 2 = 4. I don't need faith that I want my local football team to win. Those are absolutes. And but if you ask me about things of God, of course I have questions, of course I have doubts, and I need faith in. So the people who are the most certain to me seem to me to be the people who have least faith because they don't feel like they need it.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. All right, so this other book that you've, the premise that you've gotten, by the way, what the heck is the name of this last book that you wrote?
The last book I wrote was about In Search of Sacred Places, about Celtic.
Right. No, but, okay, so you haven't published the one where you're talking about the inner atheist?
No.
Dude, what are you doing?
I'm dinking around.
Seriously?
Well, I published another book on spiritual legacy, on encouraging people to tell their stories, which is the basic way I see faith, isn't that faith is a story, not faith is a set of propositions to be believed. But the one you're referring to is kind of the working title is The Skeptical Believer, Telling Stories to Your Inner Atheist.
So you I guess are suggesting that everyone, including Christians, has an inner atheist because all human explanations of reality leak.
Yeah.
Because human reasoning leaks.
Right.
Well,
I don't think everybody acknowledges they're an atheist. Many people, including probably Mr. Comfort, feels that they killed that guy, generations ago. A couple decades ago.
Right.
And maybe he did. But for me, when I tried to kill my inner atheist, he got stronger, and he laughed, and he kept asking rude questions. So I decided to kind of just try a different strategy on him, start telling him stories. And it's funny, he's like a lot of the rest of us. When he hears a story, he kind of shuts up and listens. Doesn't mean he doesn't keep, passing some cynical gas now and then. But still, basically I think the whole story approach, which is what I would say to you in this whole thing, that you're Drugal, I'm on the edge, on the ledge. I think you're asking the wrong question.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think you should. I don't think the question, "Do I believe it," or "Do I believe there's a God," is as important as the question, "Do I value it?"
Yeah, but hold on. If I value it, then whether it's true or not, I'm going to hunker down into it.
Right. And which is what I'm thinking you should do.
But I don't want to reinvest another 30 years in something that may not be real.
Yeah, but you're never going to settle that. You're right?
Right.
So, the question, if you could, by saying, "I'm chucking this," if you could settle the question, even in your own mind, and walk away, that would be great. You can't do that. I would argue it's impossible for you to do.
It's impossible are you saying it's impossible for me to chuck my faith?
Yeah. No, I'm saying it's impossible. I think you can quit practicing it.
Well, I've done that.
It's impossible. Well, you probably haven't.
What do you mean? Hold on. Stay on that one. Don't you go past that one.
Well, you're probably not religious. You're not very religious, but that's not the same as checking your, practicing your faith. I mean, the fact that you're still asking these questions is a way of practicing
Okay.
your faith.
Okay. All right. You win.
All right. So, this ledge that you're on, I think, the ground is only about 5 feet under you. It's not this precipice.
Right.
Because what would you do if you...
But you can only hang on to Pascal's wager for so long. Seriously.
I'm not even talking about Pascal's wager. I'm just talking about you've been bitten. You're infected, right? You got bit by God, and you got an infection, and you're wondering if you can get over it. And what I'm saying is, even if you come to this conclusion, no, there is no God, I can't in good conscience call myself this Christian or, person who believes in God anymore,
right,
I'm an
right.
agnostic. You won't have settled the question. You'll just be, one or two, maybe one big step over where you are right now, but you'll be outside the story. So you'll be just as, you'll still be wondering the exact same things. I wonder if there's a God. I'm saying I don't have enough evidence now, and I'm not going to act like there is. But psychologically, spiritually, you're going to be almost in the same place, but you won't have the benefits of this story. So, my question to you is, why do you think you should get what none of the rest of us have?
Yeah, trust me, that's been rattling around my head a lot, because if I end up getting an encounter or experiencing an encounter with God that I cannot justify or rationalize away, then all the rest of the lonely souls out there are going to be, right. you know, shaking their fist upward in the heaven going, what the heck? Why?
Well, yeah, Drew got his.
Yeah.
Like Mr. Certain. He knows all the answers.
Yeah,
he's,
like a bunch of disgruntled siblings,
yeah.
you know.
I'm not listening to his show anymore. He's too dang confident.
Oh, man. But hold on.
I'm
going to
tell
so,
you this, though.
What?
You're not going to, I can tell you, you don't have to wait till December 18th. You're not going to get what you're looking for. I'll tell you two reasons.
Oh, thanks. That's the most depressing thing.
No, no. It's absolutely no way you can get it. One is God's not a dog. He doesn't come when you whistle. And I would say actually there's a little bit of, I think it's a little bit, I don't know your real heart about this, but it's a little bit dangerous to me, if there is a God, to set up this kind of thing. Oh, I mean, I think it's a little bit like Simon Magus in the Bible who wanted to buy the magic, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of like, impress me, God. You know, I'm whistling. Come roll over.
And no, I don't want a dog. I don't want a dog and pony show. I don't want miracles. I just want an encounter. I want to. It's like
right,
it's like a kid missing his dad. It's like, right. Please, Dad, either just write me a friggin' letter.
Right. Here's
something.
The second. Here, okay, that gets me my second reason why it's not going to happen.
Okay.
There's nothing that could happen to you that you could not rationalize away. In other words, God could give it to you, and you would, you know. The way I think about it is, you know, some people who they believe in angels and they see angels.
Yeah.
There's some people who there's no room in their whole view of the world for angels. So Gabriel could show up at the bottom of their bed, 30 feet tall, speak to them, and they'd say, "Oh, that pizza, you know, it's really, really doing stuff to me." So there's no God hasn't, you know, there's no experience that isn't rationally avoidable, you know. So I would say God probably is giving you an experience with him every dang day of your life. And you're like the guy with the glasses on the top of his head who's looking for his glasses.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that. I'm so glad I had you on the show today, Dan.
Yeah, and how are the kids?
Yeah, seriously. Okay, but hold on. What about Gideon and the fleece? What about Thomas and the fingernail hole thing? They got their stuff.
First off, they're looking for a specific direction. They're not doubting God at all.
Well, maybe Gideon didn't, but doubting Thomas did.
Yeah, well, even the famous verse, you know, the fool says in his heart there is no God, probably doesn't mean, the Bible doesn't even conceive of the possibility of atheism, seriously. That fool thinks God isn't paying attention. There's no God here who's keeping score and blessing the rich and or blessing the good people and not the poor people. That's all that it means. But even take Thomas, man. Thomas walked the walk. You know, he's the guy who said, you know, let's go to Jerusalem with him and die. So the Bible never calls Thomas doubting Thomas. And the tradition is that Thomas went all the way to India evangelizing, was martyred there. So this guy, you know, to act like that's the sort of defining, you know, his defining quality, that he's a doubter, I think that's a bad rap for Thomas.
You know what? I don't think you've encountered God, and that's why you're sucky about this, because you don't want me to get what you've always wanted.
Exactly. It's like the Christmas toy. If you're my brother and you get a better toy than I do, why should I would say, all right, you know, have I ever encountered God or had an experience with God? I'll give you it's a little bit of a pious answer, but it's I also believe it.
Okay.
I think I'm having an experience with God right now.
I knew you were going to say that.
I know, it's like, isn't that disgusting? You know, I mean,
Dan also works for Hallmark, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Have you ever been forgiven? You know, have you ever felt grace in your life? Have you ever given grace? Have you ever?
Sure, but that's relationship stuff.
What do you think the thing is with God? God's all relationship. What's the Trinity about? It's the relationship between the, you know, parts of God, if that even makes sense to us.
Right.
It's all relationship. That's why story is the best way to think about this. Stories are all about relationships over time, you know, with change and development and leading somewhere. So my view, as you know from this Myth of Certainty book, is that there's nothing valuable that doesn't involve risk and the chance that it could go wrong, the chance that it's not built on a good foundation, whether it's marriage or business or friendship. You name it. If it's important, it involves risk.
Relationally, don't you want your father? I mean, how did you and your dad get along? All right? Or not?
I just wrote a very long piece about my dad. It's a complicated relationship.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's where I think your cynicism comes from.
What am I cynical about?
Well, I don't know. There's a
I'm
long...
cynical about your cynicism. So I'm canceling out. It's like, you know, two negative numbers.
No,
my cynicism about your cynicism is positive.
But don't you want God to... This is going to sound cheesy, but, you know, hug your love on your feel. Don't you want to feel God? Don't you want...
You know, actually,
and I've spent 30 years suppressing spiritual feelings because I was told that that was immature spirituality.
Right. You
so,
went deep enough.
If you have to rely on experience, then you suck, right? So, don't you just want your father to love on you? And
okay,
you know
all right,
it?
All right. First off, this is my own private psychological problems. The answer is no. I want to be way at the back of the room in heaven. I don't want to be up there in front. I'm just, you know, but that's my own problems.
Yep.
But secondly, why do you think God brings all these other people into your life? He is loving on you. He's loving on you through everybody who cares about you.
But I don't want to be loved on by my siblings.
Yeah,
I want to be loved on by my daddy.
He is. Your daddy is loving you through your siblings, and you're just complaining about the way he set up the universe.
Yeah, I guess
If I was this way, I wouldn't. If I was God, I wouldn't have done it this way. I'd have been making daily visits to the neighborhood, you know, or handing out ice cream from the ice cream truck and stuff.
Now we're talking.
But God didn't set it up that way. You want something that God's chosen not to give, and I don't think he promises it. So I don't see why your underwear is in a wad, because he's not giving you what you don't promise, what he hasn't promised to give.
All right. Are you taking people on a tour?
I am. We're going to C.S. Lewis's Oxford, Tolkien, a little bit Lewis and Tolkien in the first week of May. So anybody who wants to join us is welcome to.
You sucked at promoting that. What is this tour again?
We're going to Oxford and places associated with C.S. Lewis and Tolkien and read some of their stuff and talk about that kind of idyllic, you know, life where all these guys got together and drank beer and wrote and...
Right, so it's like a Holy Land tour for the nerds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the irony is that I'm not that big a C.S. Lewis fan. I mean, I don't think... I really appreciate him, but he's been canonized, and so...
Yeah.
You know, we can talk. I actually think Tolkien's a much better writer.
I think you should have called it the Pipe Tour.
Yeah. Well, we'll all smoke. That's a very good idea. We'll all sit in the Eagle and Child, which was their favorite pub,
yes.
And light up.
Yes.
Smoke and think deep thoughts.
Well done. Well done. Folks, now you know why I like him. He is Dr. Daniel Taylor, and he is the author of The Myth of Certainty and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I like you. So Merry Christmas.
All right, finplacestravel.com is how to get a hold of me about that.
Oh, please. Yeah, say it again, please.
Finplacestravel.com.
Did you say thin as in Jenny Craig opposite of?
Yes, because the Celtic term, they believe that there were certain places in the world where the line between heaven and earth and this world and the transcendent world were very thin, and there was easy commerce between the two. So
nice. Say it again, the website.
finplacestravel.com, and that's all one word before the dot.
Brilliant. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it, mate.
All right.
Take care.
Blessings on you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Blessings on you. Oh, I didn't think he was going to throw that out there.
Well, he did. Because he's in a thin place right now.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you're tired of my Droogle search, it's almost over, folks. That's all I have to say. I won't be here next week. I'll be in Israel, hoping for a God experience that Dan told me I won't get. So, man.
But see, it contradicts what he just said, that, you know, you don't know what God's doing, so don't dictate to him. And now he just told you that God's not going to do it because he knows better, right? So, yeah.
Man. All right, a short break, and looking forward to this next interview. Of course, Peter Hitchens will be joining us. He is the author of The Rage Against God, How Atheism Led Me to Faith. And, of course, he is brother of atheist Christopher Hitchens, who was just here in Toronto debating Tony Blair a couple of days ago. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign? Well, what if we gave you a show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative advertising concept for the small business owner or charity. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us, one show at a time. Consider sponsoring one show and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, including a live phone interview. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. If you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Go to drewmarshall.ca for details or call Joy 1250 on 905-845-2821, extension 367. That's 905-845-2821, extension 367.